The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you.
At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way that they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." And then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" The gardener replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder where the Gospel is in these parables. What goes around comes around. You know, karma. You get what you deserve. There are consequences to action. You've heard all that before. Good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people. It's just simple justice. It's just a short step then to say that you must have done, your suffering is your own doing. You must have done something to deserve it. Your hardship is your own laziness or poor choices. A tower in the south district of Jerusalem collapsed, killing 18 bystanders, and the news flashed across town. Speculation ran on who to blame. The builders did the same work they always did, nothing to note their culpability. Other towers still stand, so it's not faulty construction. Perhaps the victims sinned in some way. Their death was a consequence of poor choices or wrongdoing. You know, smoke cigarettes and you'll get cancer. Skip school and dabble in drugs and soon you're on the fast track to prison. Be born in the wrong part of town and you know what kind of people come from there. It's so much easier just to blame the victim. That way we can relieve ourselves of the burden of caring. We can move past these tiresome emotions and shove the hard work of actually changing circumstances back onto the sufferer. Or the poor Galileans. They were not much to begin with in that neighborhood of high crime and run-down houses and broken families. Putin's war crimes and devastation in Ukraine can't hold a candle to the cruelty and depravity of Pontius Pilate. The poor always get picked on. Out of sheer brutality, Pilate had his soldiers slaughtered poor residents as they worshipped their own blood, violating and corrupting what was holy and good and life-giving. But such evil is easier to set aside as, well, that's just the neighborhood. That's just North Minneapolis, you know. No surprise given who lives there. It is hard to accept that accidents sometimes just happen. It is not God's will. It is not tit-for-tat judgment on poor choices. It did not happen for a reason. It's distressing to think that accidents just happen, that we all are vulnerable and that there are threats that could come to us anytime. And sometimes cruelty and bullying and hurt are not at all deserved or justified, but just become because of someone else's evil inclination. And then Jesus offers some seemingly heartless words. No, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Senselessly crushed by accident or brutally victimized for no reason. I don't think Jesus meant that. I think Jesus was trying to tell us that trying to make sense out of senseless situations is just a waste of time. I think Jesus was trying to tell us to make each day count, to live your own life in a way that is rich in compassion and care, to check your own attitudes and assumptions for whether they are holy. I think Jesus was trying to tell us we don't have forever. This is the life that we are given. So live it to the fullest with grace and compassion for others. And Jesus then tells a parable about a man planting a fig tree. An owner planted a tree and expected fruit. The reason he planted the tree is to get fruit. It is only fair that since he put money out to get the tree and put time and labor in to plant and water the tree and that he gets some fruit back from the tree. Invest and work, it's only fair you get something back. We expect life to be fair. We expect our dealings with one another to be fair. We expect that if we work hard, we get paid a living wage. We expect that our paycheck reflects our worth as an employee. We expect that if we take care of our health and eat properly and exercise regularly and drive responsibly, that we will stay healthy and live a long life. It's only fair. The man planted a tree and expected fruit. So how do we interpret this parable? One way is to say the man who planted is God, and the vine dresser who intercedes is Jesus placating this vengeful God. However, this interpretation does not seem to fit what we know of God in the rest of the Bible. God is vengeful planter, demanding results, ripping out those not up to standards, does not fit the God of the Bible. God in the Bible is described as a father desperately scanning the horizon and then running with foolish abandon to hug and kiss and a wayward, ungrateful son. God in the Bible is described as a widow scouring the floor for one small coin going missing, that not even the smallest, least noticed person is far from God. God in the Bible is described as a shepherd who would leave a huge flock of sheep to search hills and brambles for one small lost sheep, that there is more rejoicing in heaven for a wayward sinner repenting than 99 faithful churchgoers. God in the Bible is described as a farmer sowing wheat, but an enemy comes and spoils the field with weed seeds. And the farmer, instead of uprooting everything and starting over, will put up with the weeds, keeping them so as to save the wheat. So I think a more accurate way to read the parable in today's gospel of a man planting a tree that does not bear fruit, I think a more accurate way is to make the man, to see the man as us who only expect what's fair, us who are quick to pass judgment and mete out punishment. The owner of the fig tree is any of us who wants the world into balance and considers hardship and disasters as deserved outcomes for some foolish or poor choices. And the owner of the fig tree is any of us who hold that well-being and comfort is deserved reward for being good boys and girls. The one who planted and judged and now wants to cut down is us. And then the vine dresser, the laborer caring for the tree at the direction of the owner, is Jesus, who advises us to be patient, to not judge so quickly, to give help and direction and resource and nurture, to give a second chance, to coax and guide and support and soothe so that maybe, given a chance, the person will change. Maybe, given a chance, this tree will come around. Jesus, the vine dresser, advises us that instead of judging and imposing consequences, a better approach is to acknowledge people where they are, care for them in ways that will get them through the hardships they face, and allow the possibility of change and new chances. You know, disaster comes without our deserving. Terrible diseases, accidents, and failures fall upon people who do not deserve such troubles. Jesus had some words to say about terrible things that happened. Repent is his warning. Repent. Well, repentance is more than feeling sorry for some vague sin and promising to try to change. Repentance that Jesus warns is not even about personal or individual choice. In the sense that Jesus gives, repentance is about changing lives, about working toward healing those broken by life circumstances. Repentance is about personally seeing to it that another person has a chance at a better life. Repentance means thinking and then behaving in a different way. Repentance that Jesus commands is about being attuned to what God's Spirit is doing among us to heal and restore and make new. The good news is that we have time. This is the opportune time. The gardener, Jesus, has bought us some time. Amen.